Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host the Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_ Peck. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can find us on Instagram at Locked On Bulls, Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. That text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. The number is 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls thoughts, questions, inquiries. I took a handful of text messages on Wednesday's episode, and at some point later in the day, perhaps Jordan will hit some of those voicemails that we still have fresh in our inbox. If we don't get to them today, then we will certainly get to them on Monday of next week. Jordan off today, at least for right now. He might hop on the mic later after I do this solo portion of the show and hit some of those voicemails, as I said. But in the meantime, I wanted to hop on the mic and give my thoughts on the Bulls' final preseason game, a convincing 111-93 victory over the Atlanta Hawks on Thursday night. Wow. I gotta say, I've been trying to temper my expectations coming into this season, despite really liking the offseason moves that this team has made. It's hard to make significant win jumps in the NBA. It's hard to leapfrog multiple teams to go from being a 22-win team to a team fighting for a playoff spot. It's not going to be easy. And the preseason is not the same challenge as regular season games. And there's been some good and some bad through the first four preseason games that we saw. But their fifth and final preseason game against Atlanta, which is another team that certain people have pegged to be the new young hotshot team that makes some noise in the East this season, the Bulls looked like the better team. I mean, back to front, front to back, they looked like the better team. If you look at some of the team stats, the Bulls just dominated. They shot a lot of threes, and they weren't even that efficient last night, but it didn't matter. The Bulls finished 15 of 46. That's right, 46 three-point attempts for just 32.6% behind the arc, but it didn't matter. The Bulls out-rebounded the Hawks by an edge of 53 to 42. The Bulls had more steals. The Bulls had more blocks. The Bulls protected the ball better with only 13 turnovers on the night. The Bulls outscored the Hawks in the fast break 23-8. They outscored the Hawks in the paint 44-34. Everything about this game looked like a dominant Bulls victory, even though they did not have their best night shooting from behind the three-point line. But 46 attempts, hey, that's got to have a lot of Bulls fans smiling. A lot of us. They did get help from the atrocious night that Atlanta had at the free throw line. Atlanta almost doubled the Bulls in free throw attempts with 34 compared to the Bulls' 19. But Atlanta was just 15 of 34 at the free throw line. That is 44% from the charity stripe. Woof. That's not great. And our old pal Jabari Parker, he contributed to that 15 of 34 with a 2 of 7 from the free throw line. although he was the Hawks' leading scorer with 15 points on 6 of 10 shooting. We saw more of the Bulls' unselfish play on the offensive end, spreading the ball around. We were unsure whether or not we would get Wendell Carter in this game because he did aggravate that thumb injury that he had surgery to repair that ended his rookie season. But there he was in the starting lineup. So we got another look at the Bulls' official starting lineup to begin this regular season with Satoransky, LaVine, Wendell, Otto, and Lowry. Of those starting five, LaVine played the most minutes with 25, which was also a team high. Another incredibly efficient night from Zach LaVine. This guy looks poised for a breakout year. Some people still think he doesn't get enough respect and enough credit for what he did last season, and I would agree with that. 23-4-4 is nothing to sneeze at, but it looks like he is ready to take an even bigger step this season just because of how effortlessly he is scoring. How efficiently he is scoring. 23 points in 25 minutes on 8 of 11 from the field. And continuing his lights-out shooting from behind the three-point line this season, he finished 3 of 6 last night, including that amazing buzzer beater right before halftime. The pull-up just drilled it. And he was a perfect 4 of 4 at the free throw line, adding 3 rebounds, a couple of assists, and a steal. 3 turnovers, you can live with that. And outside of Zach LaVine continuing to look just fantastic, the biggest story of last night's game, Coby White, the rookie phenom with a team-high 29 points. He was also a team-best plus 33 in the plus-minus column. 29 points in 23 minutes on 10 of 14 shooting, including 6 of 8 from downtown and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. As we've seen Coby manage his way through these preseason games, some good stretches, some not so good, and clearly seeing more of the scorer than the true facilitating point guard that some wondered if he might be, he had another blank in the assist column last night. But that might not end up mattering. I did see a lot of Bulls fans on Twitter last night talking about how Coby is just, you know, quickly earning his way to being this team's starting point guard. Or, you know, if you don't want to call him a starting point guard, earning a starting spot in the backcourt with Zach LaVine, as in ahead of Tomas Satoransky. And I'll say pump the brakes on that for now. But as far as what Coby White is showing us he can do, right now, he looks like the Bulls' sixth man. A lot of people assumed, because of the veteran experience, that Thad Young would be the first guy off the bench for the Bulls this season, at least to begin this season. And I could say that makes sense. You might have to deal with Wendell fighting through foul trouble again early this season as he gets his way into playing shape, which would mean bringing Thad Young off the bench first, sitting Wendell, and shifting Lowry to the five. That seems to be part of the plan this season. But as good as Coby White looks, Jim Boylan has to seriously consider making him the sixth man. First guy in for that second unit. We saw some nights in these preseason games where Coby White scored 20-plus, taking 20-plus shots, which is, you know, it's still impressive to see a brand new, you know, babyface rookie scoring those kind of points, but not as efficiently as you would like. But last night's game, holy crap. 29 points in 23 minutes on 10 of 14. And the nightmare we were all experiencing and the panic that we were experiencing watching Coby White launch all those bricks from behind the three-point line in Summer League, maybe he didn't like the Summer League ball, or maybe he didn't like the Summer League rims, or whatever it was that had him shooting such an atrocious percentage in that Summer League action. And he's had some good nights and some bad nights behind the three-point line in preseason, but it's mostly been good. I think he had one preseason game where he was like 4 of 12 from behind the 3-point line. So that's not great. That's a lot of attempts and only making, you know, at a 33% clip. So that's not ideal. But it's still not terrible. And wow. Or I guess no, 4 of 12 would be 25%. So that is not great. But 6 of 8 last night. Kobe looks to be finding his shot and finding his stroke behind the 3-point line. He was making some of them off the dribble. He had that one where he was kind of, you know, prodding the defense to see if he could penetrate and get to the basket. Kind of did like a fake step back and then attacked again and then stepped back again for a real step back three and drilled it. He was hitting catch and shoot threes when he was playing off the ball. A lot of different ways Kobe is looking to be a comfortable piece to add to the Bulls' three-point attack this season, which looks like it's going to be a lot better than it was last season. And that's great news, which is why, again, it doesn't necessarily matter if he's not, you know, dishing out all these eye-popping assists and being a true, quote-unquote, floor general in the sense of a traditional point guard. If he is your microwave scorer off the bench, then that is a great thing for him to be. And we talked about this last night, too, on our episode of Bulls Outsiders following the game. It looks like Kobe and Chris Dunn together could form a pretty dynamic and very effective backcourt tandem for that second unit. Because Chris Dunn, by all accounts, has accepted this role as, all right, I'm not the starting point guard for this team anymore. I'm going to come in off the bench. I'm going to run the second unit, and I'm going to put most of my efforts and my focus, first and foremost, on the defensive end. And I'm going to set the tone for our second unit defensively. And when Chris Dunn is creating all of these turnover opportunities, as we saw him do last night, getting up in Trae Young's face, not giving easy access to the opposing team's point guard when they're bringing the ball up, making them work for every step. And then, you know, Chris Dunn creates a steal. Kobe White breaks out in transition, and boom, you got a lot of easy points. Chris Dunn credited with 3 more steals last night. I think he had like 5 or 6 in the previous preseason game. It does not matter to me that Chris Dunn scored 0 points last night. 20 minutes, 0 of 4 from the floor, including 0 of 3 behind the 3-point line, but 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. If that's the role that Chris Dunn is being asked to play this season and he accepts and embraces that role next to this young phenom, crazy fast, crazy athletic scorer who can also drill threes named Kobe White, that is a pretty damn good backup backcourt unit. I was really excited watching them play together yesterday. And the Bulls will find other ways to score in that second unit. Obviously, Luke Kornet can be a valuable floor spacer in addition to somebody who's crashing the boards. Same thing with Thaddeus Young. Bulls getting some solid second chance scoring opportunities last night with their 13 offensive rebounds. And, you know, if and when Valentine is healthy enough and in shape enough, he's another 3-point threat for that second unit. Last night, it looked like Ryan Arcidiacono got the final part of that second unit rotation ahead of Valentine. And in my opinion, I think it's because Jim Boylan thinks Denzel isn't in good enough shape yet. The conditioning isn't there, and we know how much importance Boylan is putting on conditioning coming into this season. So we'll see if that ever changes, and Denzel does earn his way in. And same thing for Hutchison when he's healthy and ready to go. Will he earn his way into this rotation? But the rotation we saw last night gives you scoring and gives you at least a fighting chance to be a competent team defensively, which this team was not last season. plain and simple, they were awful defensively last year. And if they want to make that considerable jump to be vying for a playoff spot come mid-March and into April, they're going to have to make big strides on the defensive end. And it's going to be a team effort. Chris Dunn being a defensive dog in the second unit is not going to get it done by itself. But if that's the role Dunn embraces, it'll go a long way. I also want to talk about the game Lauri Markkanen had last night. But before we do that, just wanted to give a quick shout out to Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Our Locked On Bulls listeners can get 20% off and free shipping when they use promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. All right, on to Lauri Markkanen, the finisher. 23 minutes last night. Just 4 points on 2 of 8 shooting. 0 of 6 from downtown. The one part of Markkanen's game that I liked last night was the work he did on the boards. Markkanen's game and his effort on the glass was a big reason that the Bulls had such a dominant edge over Atlanta in the rebound category last night. 11 rebounds. 10 of them on the defensive end. He added 1 assist and 1 steal. But here we are again, another game in which Markkanen takes more than half of his shots from behind the three-point line. And you see just how ugly and worrisome that can be on a night when Markkanen's shot is not falling. Because he went 0 for 6 behind the three-point line and finished with 4 points. Only taking 8 shots is in itself a concern. And again, once he's playing full regular season game minutes, something closer to 33 as opposed to 23, you would assume DeMarcus is going to be getting at least 10 shots every night, as he should. But again, it's the spot on the floor where most of his shots are coming from. I mean, Markkanen catch and shoot threes when he's playing off the ball and, you know, pick and pop threes when he's playing a little two-man game with Zach or you know, Satoransky or whoever. It's nice. And it right now looks like the best part of Markkanen's game with no comparison, no competition. And that is the one thing about these preseason games that, by and large, have me very excited about what this team can do on the offensive end this season. I'm worried about Markkanen. Because since we saw his truly impressive, unexpected breakout rookie year and all the things he could do on the floor, the expectation level has been set for we're seeing a future perennial all-star just coming into form. And the Markkanen that we've seen in preseason doesn't look anything like an all-star. He doesn't. Zach LaVine sure as hell looks like an all-star. And if Zach LaVine is the all-star of this team, leading the team in shots every night, leading the team in scoring every night, doing everything he's doing, and Markkanen is one of the complementary pieces, along with Otto, along with Satoransky, along with Wendell, and the second unit, then maybe that's not like a terrible thing, and maybe the Bulls could be a competitive team if Markkanen is not an all-star this year. But it's the development of his game that's got me a little concerned. And you wonder how much of it, you know, and I feel like we say this all the time, but how much of it is a lack of proper coaching? How much of it is Markkanen not being assertive enough himself? But I'm sorry, 2 of 8 for 4 points when you're also going 0 of 6 behind the three-point line, that's not good enough. That is not good enough. And we always look back to that month of February and last year's terrible season. When Markkanen averaged 26 and 12, those are all-star numbers. And I kind of have already forgotten what that version of Markkanen looks like. You know, we saw him develop that that move that was very difficult to guard, where he kind of, you know, he drives left and does a little bit of a drag step, like hanging shot in the lane that he was starting to hit really consistently. And that was a really nice piece of his game. Haven't seen that in the preseason. Haven't seen him rolling to the basket on pick and rolls. It's been almost entirely pick and pops, and he's stepping out behind the three-point line. And the few times that he has tried to roll to the rim in a pick and roll, he fumbles the pass, or he gets caught up, or gets contacted. He can't fight his way through, despite this added, you know, muscle that he looks to have put on in the offseason. And I'm sitting here watching it saying, "What? Where's the finisher? Where's the guy that we've seen create so many different looks for himself offensively through his first two seasons? Putting the ball on the floor, attacking the basket, beating his man off the dribble when he's got mismatches. Some of it is the Bulls needing the right players around Lowry to recognize when he has mismatches to try to get him some looks easy at the basket. Maybe there's still some chemistry that needs to be developed between Lowry and Satoransky, and even LaVine for that matter. Whatever it is, to me, it is the biggest glaring possible worry about the ceiling of this team and the ceiling of this player, who Bulls fans everywhere, myself at the head of the pack, have high hopes for in marketing and becoming that elite caliber talent. And maybe it's just he's easing into things because it's preseason. And maybe it is the Bulls offensively have so many different options and Zach LaVine is so dominant that we don't need the 26 and 12 version of Lowry. But I sure would like to have it. Sure would like to have it. And I suppose my final thought on this preseason game and the starting unit coming off of another disappointment for Lowry is that if Lowry's bad night led to something positive, it could have been a more positive night for Otto Porter, for Wendell Carter Jr. Like Wendell, when you look at his box score, it's not fantastic. Nothing about it is breathtaking. 8 points on 3 of 9 from the field in 22 minutes. 8 total rebounds, 2 of them on the offensive glass, 6 defensive rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. And man, those blocks were filthy. So he did a little bit of everything, and he definitely started rusty. We heard that he was essentially going to be a game-time decision because he aggravated that thumb. And then at the beginning of the game, he certainly looked out of his element, Donnie. But as the game continued, Wendell certainly started to find some kind of groove, and it was his offense, I mean, it was his defense leading to offense. The sequence where he gets the block on one end, runs the floor, gets a dunk on the other end. He had a couple of ferocious dunks last night. And, I mean, the one poster that earned him a tech for that, you know, mean mugging he did afterwards, that tech was bullshit. That tech was soft as hell. It's the NBA. Let them jaw at each other a little bit. But I think that Wendell is going to have those opportunities this season, and that's how you're going to see Wendell develop confidence offensively, is because of his strong play on the defensive end. That's always been what we've expected as far as when we see development from Wendell. And it's just like he never got in a good enough groove last season because of this injury and that injury, and just a terrible team. Sometimes you thought Wendell was being a little too passive offensively, like his buddy Lowry. And I did see a couple of those moments last night when Wendell got a good look in the paint when he received a solid pass from somebody and he kicked it back out. Didn't even look to the rim. And he did miss a couple of bunnies last night, sort of like little baby hooks or like little, you know, mini fadeaways that he was doing in the lane, which looked nice. And I think if he continues to work on those, they'll fall at an improved rate. Because the mechanics are there, the footwork is there. He's just got to develop his touch around the rim a little bit, and I think he can. And it's all about building that confidence. But in the meantime, his defense, if he can do a little bit better job of staying out of foul trouble, which will be hard because he's still a young player and he's going to get whistled for a lot of fouls against higher caliber players that he's trying to guard every night. That'll continue to happen. But if he fights through that and still just brings that intensity and that focus as this team's best rim protector, I think it can help his offensive game. Because that's the same thing that we've heard Boylan say, and it's not just Wendell, but it's what Boylan has said about Lauri Markkanen. Some of these bigs who he wants their work on defense to help lead into their offense, easy transition buckets. Get out and run the floor. And if you're the one who gets the rebound, then get out and go. And that applies more to Lauri than it does to Wendell. Wendell not super comfortable handling the ball, dribbling the ball, you know, up court. But certainly with Lauri. And that's what was odd about last night's game, too. To go back to Lauri for a second. We keep hearing that from Boylan. Boylan told me again at that the Bulls charity thing on Tuesday night when me and Big Dave and John were talking to him. I want Lauri to just focus on defensive rebounding so that he can get the ball and go and provide himself opportunities where he's got the ball in his hands and he gets to decide what happens. And if he's going to take a pull-up three, he does. If he's going to see the man who's sizing him up when he's coming down the court and he thinks he can blow by him or he thinks he can put a little dribble on him and get himself a nice, you know, look close to the basket, then do that. But step one is getting the rebound and bringing the ball down court yourself. And so to see Markkanen with 10 defensive rebounds last night and 8 shots and 4 points, that's weird. Because he did the first part, but he didn't do the second part. And again, some of that is just the unselfish play that this new Bulls roster is going to be playing with this season. And that's not bad. Offensively, as a team, the Bulls look to have a lot of options this season, and Markkanen is one of them. And it's not going to be Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, 1A, 1B, and nothing else like it was for most of last season. But if Markkanen is going to put in the work to be a better rebounder and get all of those defensive rebounds, 10 last night, he's got to take Boylan's advice and use that as an opportunity to get himself involved in the game more offensively. And some of it, again, is on Boylan and his staff to make sure that that happens. And if they have to coddle Lauri, who isn't confident or loud or aggressive enough to demand those touches for himself, then they have to do it for him. I know that sounds silly and it sounds childish, but until Lauri feels confident enough to demand the ball, then they have to use all of the tools at their disposal to maximize the opportunities for when Lauri has the ball. They have to figure out a way to make it work because the version of Markkanen that we've seen this preseason with more three-point attempts than attempts at the basket and fewer than 10 shots a game, and basically only working in catch-and-shoot threes when he's playing off the ball or two-man game pick-and-pop with Zach, that's not dynamic enough for the talent that we all believe Lauri has waiting inside him. They've got to figure out a way to unleash the beast of Lauri. And I'm not saying I have no faith that they will. I'm just saying that if I have one significant worry from watching preseason, and it's silly to worry about anything, really, when watching preseason, that's it. That's the worry, is the Markkanen we saw in those preseason games. But all in all, I'm nitpicking. I'm nitpicking after a very exciting, very encouraging performance by the Bulls in their final preseason game. Now the real ones start. Next Wednesday, down in Coby White's old stomping grounds, North Carolina, Buzz City, Bulls, Hornets. The Bulls should be starting the season 1-0 based on how bad that Hornets team looks. Early season, regular season games are always a little bit wonky and weird, and teams feeling each other out and all that kind of stuff. But based on the weapons we see this Bulls team displaying in their preseason games, on paper, they have more talent than Charlotte. And they can, if they so choose, outrun Charlotte, particularly in the third and fourth quarters, which is what we've seen the Bulls do in some of these preseason games. Boylan's been harping on conditioning all offseason long and was harping on it when he took over for Fred last year. It looks like he finally has the well-conditioned team that he set out to have. There's no reason that the Bulls should not run the Hornets out of the gym Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to it. And I know you are too. We're so close, Bulls fans. We are so freaking close. In the meantime, if you're looking for some content in written form as opposed to audio, NBCSportsChicago.com just dropped my column earlier this morning with my thoughts and reactions to our experience at the Bulls charities and evenings with the Chicago Bulls that I talked about on Wednesday's episode. So go check that out on NBCSportsChicago.com. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. I think it's a fun read. It's also available on the NBC Sports Chicago My Teams app, which you should download in case you haven't. And as I said, I'm not sure. I'm going to talk to Jordan later today and see if he has some time to hop on and add to this episode with some voicemail content. If not, we will get to that on Monday because we do know that some of you have left us some fresh voicemails over the past few days. So we will get to those when we can. In the meantime, reminder, go check out all of the other shows, part of the Locked On Chicago family. Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox as the Bears get set for a big, important game against the Saints on Sunday. And the newly added Locked On Blackhawks with the one and only Jay Zawoski, who does incredible work covering the Blackhawks. I've listened to his first few episodes, and they are fantastic. So if you're a Blackhawks fan, go check those out. And of course, as always, in the meantime, 331-979-1369 is that text and voicemail number to call, to text with all of your Bulls thoughts. Have a great weekend, Bulls Nation. Love you. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com